Thank you, Carrie, for the offertory. Thank you for your continued faithful giving unto the service of the Lord through your tithes and offerings. If you have your Bibles with you today, and again, I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to church, and then when you go home, you can review and go over and the message that's brought to you every week. But we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, a very familiar passage of Scripture, I trust, in John chapter 15. We're going to interrupt Jesus' teaching here and look at verses 12 through 17. This is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded you, that you love one another. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the occasion. We thank you for the design of the week, Lord, a day set aside, the first day of the week, the day that you arose from the grave, a living Savior, a living Redeemer. And so, Lord, we have come to meet with you today and to hear from you and to be instructed. And Lord, I pray today that you would give us obedient hearts, that we would bear fruit as we follow your directive in our lives. And so, Lord, we come as sheep of your pasture to you, our shepherd, and we ask, Lord, that you would teach us. And so, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross and speak through these fallible lips of clay the infallible truth of your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Memorial weekend, tomorrow being Memorial Day, of course. I've been thinking throughout the course of the week the importance of this day and the ethical correctness of it and what we do on Memorial Day. But I would have to tell you that it appears to me that Memorial Day is perhaps the forgotten holiday. Not unlike all of our holidays, really, in some sense. Whether they be Christian holidays or national holidays, it seems that the importance and the meanings of these things has largely been forgotten. Christmas, of course, is Christ has been crowded out of the manger, so to speak, to take on many other things of little or no value. Resurrection Sunday has been replaced in a lot of people's minds with spring renewal. Independence Day, we don't even call it that. We call it the 4th of July, you know. And there's so many of these things where the tradition and the ongoing of it seems to have limited, or we've forgotten the very meaning of what we do, and therefore we don't do much of anything. And Memorial Day is one of those. There's a sadness in me about it. You probably sensed that already. It started out as Decoration Day, as you know, post-Civil War, a way of going and decorating the graves of fallen soldiers through the Civil War, originally Union soldiers, and then expanding across the country. Did not become a national holiday until 1971. That's remarkable to me that it took that long. But here's a little interesting thing, and maybe I should quiz you all. No, I won't do that. But in the year 2000, Congress passed and the president signed into law the National Moment of Remembrance. Did you know that? And if you did know that, do you know when that National Moment of Remembrance is? 3 p.m. How many of you have kept a moment of quiet remembrance on 3 p.m. of any Memorial Day since 2000? I would suggest to you probably none of us. You getting what I'm saying? Somehow, we've lost something. You know, I'm thankful for a community like Sydney. We'll have the parade. I've heard people say at the parade, "What? No candy?" I've watched people at the parade, men who refuse to take the hats off of their head when the flags come by, people not standing with any sense of honor at what's being presented before them. The program that you put on in the park has been good anytime we've been in attendance there. But I think if you were realistic in looking at Memorial Day, you would say most people see it as the first of summer. They take advantage of a three-day weekend and they go about doing the things that they enjoy doing. Nothing wrong with that. However, I think we should probably kind of remember those who paid the ultimate price to give you the freedom to do that which you do. Did a quick calculation through a couple different sources. In the course of our nation, approximately 41 million men and women have served in the armed forces in one capacity or another. Per 100,000, the rate of casualty is about 95 people out of 100,000 will die. To date, anywhere from 1.2 to 1.4 million people have given of themselves and their lives taken from them so that I might be free. That's sobering. And so today, I would like for you to stop and to consider Memorial Day tomorrow and do something about it. Recognize what it is for yourself and show something. I was thinking about Jesus' words here, and in particular, I'm only going to focus really on verse 13. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. That truly is what's demonstrated in those who have given their lives in service, isn't it? I mean, we talk about a love of nation, and I believe that's true as well. Standing for the Constitution and things like that, I would agree with that. But you know, when you enter into the military, and this is becoming all more real to me, but when you enter into the military, there's a reason why you sleep in barracks. There's a reason why you all eat together in a mess hall. There's a reason why you're put into a troop of some kind. There's a reason why you exercise together. And I was talking to Diana's recruiting officer the other day, and he said something just in passing that I found very interesting. He said, in comforting us as parents, you know, he said about week two, they will begin to build relationships within their group. About week two, they will begin to share things with one another. About week two, they will begin to support one another, encourage one another, because they're all in the crucible together. And if I were to entitle this message, that's what it'd be: living together in the crucible. And I want you to understand is that our military officers and the way the whole thing is set up is not to make you into a good soldier. It's to make good soldiers. Plural. Because the strength of any army is in its connectiveness. It is in the fact that they are all together. It is in the fact that they have begun to build relationships one with another in the things that they are going through. How many times I've read accounts and talked to military personnel, and they say, some of the deepest relationships I have in my life were formed in the military. One of your recruiting officers, his best man at his wedding was his drill sergeant, who he thought hated him in basic boot camp. But they were building together. They were building a relationship. They were coming together, and they were becoming friends. And there is no greater love that any man has than to lay down his life for his friends. And I read the stories of these men who do remarkable things, and they die in their service, and their motivation is because they've got a relationship with these men and women that they're serving, and they would rather lay down their lives for them. But I tell you right here and right now, the friendship precedes the sacrifice. No greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his friends. And the friendships are built, the camaraderie is built. And because of that comes about this movement within them to think less of themselves and more of their friend. And you know, it's not just a Tom Hanks title to a movie, Band of Brothers. It is a reality. It is a reality. And it's something that people in that position have built into them that I don't have to that extent, because I've not been through the crucible that they've been through together. The strength is in friends together. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 said, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Do you know what that passage is saying? It's this consistency of a brotherhood, this consistency of friendships. And it's for adversity. It's for when you fall into a difficult time, that brother will come alongside and lift you up. You know, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Proverbs 17:17 said, "A brother is born for adversity." Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends." And then if you turn back to Ecclesiastes, these are verses you know, but I want to focus on it in the context of our military and those who have given their lives for out of love for their friends. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we often read this at weddings and for good reason, but I want you to think about this in the context of those who know greater love than to lay down their lives for their friends as we consider Memorial Day. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up." The importance of building that friendship and the love. There is no greater than to lay your life down for a friend. I want to take you back here to John chapter 15 for one very important point in what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is not saying in verse 13 is this. Jesus does not say, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." That is not what Jesus said. Likewise, he does not say in verse 14, "You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you." That is not what Jesus said. What Jesus said was friends, plural. What Jesus says, he is speaking to a group of people. He's not speaking to individual. He's speaking to a group of people, and he calls them friends collectively. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why I think it's important. And I shared this in Sunday school just a little bit this morning. And I don't know how to articulate it properly, so if you get offended by this, so be it. But I am getting really tired of hearing people say things like this. You don't have to be a part of the church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I know the intent of what they're saying. The intent of what they're saying is, it's not about this, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus. And I agree with that. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you should have one. You need one. Because you need a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You need Jesus in your life. You cannot make it on your own. Therefore, you have to have that personal relationship. Just as Jesus says in John, he comes in, he dwells within you, and you dwell within him. But I'm here to tell you, he didn't save you to live out your life all by yourself. He saved you to live out your life in the community of friends. And greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. You cannot fulfill the will of God living isolated from the body of Christ. It's a physical impossibility. And what we find in the church today is people wanting to live out individually with Christ on their own, but God has designed that you're a part of all of this. Because everything we've read, everything we've talked about in the military is an example of the church. We are to live out our lives together in this crucible of a world. I can tell you absolutely, if I don't have the body of Christ to draw from, to be encouraged by, to share with, to find fellowship with, to love on and to be loved on, if I didn't have that, I guarantee you I would be absolutely destitute. And if you're honest, you'd tell me the same thing. How many times I've known people professing to be Christians, not a part of the church, start attending church, start plugging into the church, and I watch with absolute mathematical exactness their life in Christ begin to flourish. It absolutely happens every time. Because he calls us to be friends of him and friends of one another. And what works in the military creates a love for their fellowship they have one with another to where they will lay down their life for one another. And I believe that's what God has called us to as well. You see, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "To distribute to the necessity of the saints." 1 John 3, 17, he says, "If you have and you withhold from your brother, how then does the love of God dwell within you?" You see it? We're meant to be a troop. We're meant to live together. We're meant to be a part of one another in Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus lays it out so plainly, and I believe this is the passage that must have been on Paul's mind when he wrote Romans chapter 12. Matthew 25, I'm just going to read two verses out of it. You know it. You know this passage. At least I trust you do. Matthew 25, verses 44 and 45, Jesus says, "Then said they also, answering him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you?" And he said, and he answered unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto the least, not done unto the least of one of these, you did it not unto me." And I believe this is probably what Paul was referencing when he talked about in Romans chapter 12, the opening verse. You know this verse. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, and the question really is this, isn't it? Are you willing to sacrificially lay down your life for your friends in the body of Christ? That's really the question, isn't it? And so when we talk about the issues of coming together, when we talk about the issues of one anothering, loving, encouraging, correcting, and all these different things we're called to do, it's going to require a sacrifice. It's going to require you getting outside of your own will, your own desires, to seek what's good for your brothers and your sisters in Christ, to lay down your life for them. Have we forgotten what Memorial Day is all about on a national level? I believe we have, and it saddens me. But I'm going to tell you what saddens me more. What saddens me more is when the people of God neglect the people of God. That saddens me more. We need one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to raise my hand and I was going to say, because it was put on my heart today, that I've been, I was part of the engagement project. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us were. And at the very end of it, it was suggested that we have accountability with each other and we come together later and help each other and share so we don't go backwards. And it became eerily quiet. Mm-hmm. Since then, it could have just been me, I don't know. But I was silent then, and I wanted to say to you today and everyone who was there that I second that.
Amen.
I personally, this, we've been going through things, and it was put upon me. It's like we're supposed to share each other's joys and burdens. So easy to share each other's joys, but really, really scary to share anything else.
Yeah. Amen.
And, yeah, so I second it. I don't know what it's going to look like, whatever, but it's what it's supposed to be.
Amen. So thank you, Odias. Amen. Amen. I trust you feel you're a part of a family here. We're not going to do it perfectly, but the desire really is to one another. And I believe that with all of my heart, that's God's calling us into that. So be a part of it. Be a willing part of it to serve one another and to love one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Odias. Heavenly Father, you're touching hearts today. And we recognize, Lord, the great value in those who laid down their life for their comrades, their fellow soldiers. Lord, in foxholes and on the front line and doing heroic things because they thought more of their friend than they did their own lives. And anytime we read a story about that, Lord, we are moved because it is noble and righteous and good. And Lord, I believe that that's what you desire in the church. That none of us would be seeking our own, but we would be looking out for the good of our brothers and our sisters. And that we would be willing to sacrifice for their good. To lay down our desires for the desires of others. Our needs for their needs. Our will for their will in order to be aligned with you. And so, Lord, I do think today you're drawing us. You're drawing us closer together. And I look around and I see the challenges that are coming for the church. I see the crucible. I can feel the heat of it. And I know, Lord, that we're going to need each other. And we're going to need you. And so, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. And give us an intent of heart to be active and involved in the body of Christ, the building of God, the garden of God, the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our hearts, and thank you for the testimony shared through tears, how, Lord, you're speaking to us. And move us, Lord, closer to you, and in so being, we will be closer one to another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.